Whether it's a midweek game on the continent or a big weekend clash, cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match of up to $100. This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalogue. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. I'm currently listening to The Secret Hours by Mick Herron. That's the standalone prequel to the majestic Slow Horses television series. I can't stop listening. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. That's audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500.
This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable.
Yes, it's the Carabao Cup of Green Rooms, Rog, from the Embassy Row Studios in the crap part of Bedford, the crap part of the South Fork of Long Island. It's a Men in Blazers Spotify Green Room.
Oh, Jen Dowling in the chat asks, was Dave just missing a gem thirst trap? You were just playing for gems, weren't you?
Pretty much. I got my gems and I left. That was it. This is our weekly Spotify Green Room every Wednesday at 7 p.m. or thereabouts during the Premier League season. We're here to break down all the midweek narrative. For those of you GFOPs joining here on Green Room, on the app, start asking your questions in the chat right now. We'll pull you up on stage later in the show to hear from you. For those of you listening to this on a delay, if you don't Green Room, do you even Tanganga? The only way to actually participate in the pod is to join us here on Green Room. Let's kick this off with a toast. Rogelio.
Oh, mate, it's a toast propelled by sipping rum. I did say, Dave-O, while you're off, for the last week I've been going down with really brutal COVID-like symptoms, but I keep testing negative for the COVID, so I have all of the agony and none of the antibodies. So it's a wild time. It's slightly impatient time for Rog, slightly hurty time, but I want to raise my first bud of the day to a man that is inspiring all of us right now in ways we need to be inspired, Christian Eriksen, that beautiful Dane, 7 months after suffering cardiac arrest on the field during Euro 2020 with the whole world watching. Christian went to Danish television to deliver his first interview. And it's, you've probably seen clips of it subtitled all over Twitter. It's quite beautiful. If you haven't, I do encourage you to hunt it down. He's declared that his goal is to represent Denmark at World Cup 2022. It's my dream to come back. Came out with this beautiful line. He said, my heart is not an obstacle. We have heard from so many GFOPs who've experienced their own heart challenges. A number of who've been fit, similarly to Christian with defibrillators. And hearing from them just how inspirational they found this moment. I want to raise my blood fam to Christian Eriksen. I don't like to speak for everyone in the world, but I will on this occasion. We are all rooting for you.
Oh, my God. The sad person, that one sad, dark person somewhere in a cave rooting against Christian Eriksen. Rog,
you don't speak for me, Rog. You don't speak for me.
Well, what does the world come to when people like Christian Eriksen are getting to represent, live their dreams and come back from terrible, life-threatening moments? Okay, Rog, are you ready? To the taurine-infused football of the Carabao Cup, the perfect type of football to keep long-haul truckers away because they drive their wares sea to shining sea across this great country. We start, well, and finish with Chelsea 2, Tottenham 0. The Blues take a two-goal lead in this biped of a semi-final tie between a fifth-minute goal from the Kai they told Spurs not to worry about and a 34th-minute own goal that should be hung in the Phil Jones own goal museum. But the headlines before, during, and after this one, all about Romelu Lukaku.
By the way, that angry person in the cave you were talking about who's anti-Christian Eriksen, no matter what, how deep that cave is, I have no doubt they are able to sign into Green Room easier than we did at the beginning of this podcast. Yes, Dave, about it. Rom Lukaku gate rumbles on. The Carabao big time player back in the starting lineup. Yes, they needed him back for the big one. Thomas Tuchel had fined him after accepting the Belgian striker's public apology for his unsanctioned, controversial and frankly quite surreal interview that we still don't understand nor can make any sense of. What did you think of his apology video, Davo, which was a bit hostage video meets I apologise if I upset you variety?
You know, I don't like, we've talked about this before on the pod, I don't like you, if I offended you in any way, I apologise. That's not really a true apology. I mean, it was like a hostage video with much higher production values, produced by Chelsea's, you know, digital media team. I mean, it was decent. I think it's smart. And I think this is, it was clearly enough to sort of end this chapter. And with his selection in the Carabao Cup game tonight, to sort of draw a line under it. But I don't believe that this story and everything that went on behind the scenes, as we said on the podcast the other day, who knows what's really going on? I don't think this is going away forever.
I could not agree more. You know, Tuchel is getting widespread applause for having, quote, won this round, which is rare for a Chelsea manager. I mean, we've talked for as long as there's been a Men in Blazers pod, we've talked about Chelsea is the ultimate player first, player second, player third culture. And I did love, I love Thomas's quote today. I think it's impatience more than anything else. He told the English media, Rome is impatient. He wants big chances, but he's impatient. It's hard for him to accept. This is a beautiful bit, that sometimes the grass does not grow faster when you pull it. That there's a life lesson in there.
That I'm sure, in German, that makes a lot of sense. It's like a horse and having your heart on your tongue.
I'm sure that is a German phrase, but it is a gorgeous life truth that we can all learn from. But I do believe there is going to be more, much more, because, again, if you watch today, Rom touched the ball on the field about as much as he did when he was dropped from the entire squad over the weekend. And the problem remains, Dave, and it's a problem really of player, sensitive player and systems. And so, yes, Tuchel won this round, but there was more. Much more to come. And in the game itself, I mean, God, the big one, the Carabao Cup, I know that's an oxymoron. Chelsea, welcome back Antonio Conte by scoring within 5 minutes. Dave, I thought massive. It wasn't Dave. It was Alonso charging forward, slipping into Kai Havertz to score a goal and break his little finger in the process. And then 2-0, an own goal. Davis heading home off Tanganga. Never good to score an own goal. But at the same time, if I'm Spurs, I couldn't help but admiring the collective team play that they demonstrated in finishing that one. That had all the hallmarks of the true collective spirit that Conte is trying to inculcate. But I did feel for Spurs fans who cheer for the Chicago Bears, David. That was one double doink of a goal.
Yeah. I got a note from a friend of mine during the game saying, are you watching this? And I was like, yeah, I am. But honestly, like with one eye, because it's the Carabao Cup and I'm not sure how much I really even want to win the Carabao Cup. I don't really care. And my mate said, you know what? I just love watching football. And I said, so do Spurs midfield. It was just this odd game in which Spurs just watched Chelsea play football all around them for the entire game. Just watch them. You know, they even made Saul look good. Saul looked like a world beater in this game.
Yeah, this lost Alonso, in this is Saul's best game in England.
I know. And, you know, Alonso, you talked about the opening goal. Alonso beat a player for pace to intercept a pass and then made that through ball to Kai. I mean, it was amazing.
It's beautiful. That was beautiful to watch, actually, Alonso read it like a cornerback just charging him for the interception, beating him to the ball. It was stunning. Don't look, do. Be a person of action. He really was. And then the slipped in ball. And then ESPN FC, which, you know, I'm quite hyperbolic about moments and goals and the theatre of football. They tweeted immediately, Kai Havertz, big game, big goal scorer. And then obviously got ratioed like, big game, really? The Carabao Cup. I mean, it was big game in at Conte, and 9 games unbeaten, his run comes to an end. And I'm fascinated You know, he's had such an impact on Spurs. I bet he can't even believe the impact going from a month ago where he's like, oh, I've seen the quality of the players and I understand just how big the task is ahead of me, to, you know, suddenly looking like he was getting the most out of players like Dier and Winks and Skip. You know, when there are these beats of darkness, you know, this man is a winner. That's his brand. He wins. When he doesn't win, how he reacts at Spurs, I think if I was a Spurs fan, I'd be looking for little signs of smoke that the relationship that we do want to last may not last as long as we want it. But Davo, Chelsea, two games away from another piece of silverware for you. How hyped are you, really?
I mean, I think I just gave this away. Not really at all hyped. It doesn't matter. And look, I like watching Chelsea compete for cups. That's fun. I like watching them play good football. I thought they were very good tonight with, you know, their little novelties like, you know, Ziyech playing at right wing back and, you know, little Harvey Vale, cute little Harvey Vale coming on for a trot around at the end. Like, I like these things, but I'm still a romantic, Roger. I enjoy these things. But, you know, on the whole, really, does it matter other than Chelsea look pretty good? And I think it's a confidence builder for them and a chance to get Lukaku playing again. I thought he was a little bit better than you said. I think he got a lot of touch in which he needed, and I think they were trying to feed the ball. They just were overhitting every cross so far every time they tried to hit him in the middle. They must think he's a giant of some kind. Yeah, I thought they're fine, but I don't care about winning the Carabao Cup.
I do love Harvey Vale. He sounds like he's a hero rip from a 1980s Harlequin romance novel. Let's talk quickly about the other semi-final, touch on a bit of transfer goss, some United stuff, and then we can delve into your questions.
Yeah, the first leg of the other semi-final, Rog, that you're talking about between Liverpool and Arsenal had to be postponed, Rog, due to the number of COVID cases in the Liverpool squad. The match was scheduled to have taken place at the Emirates tomorrow.
Yeah, a bit of darkness. The Liverpool submitted the request because of just a lack of player availability, just a surging number of positive tests amongst squad and staff. Even Pep Linders, who's been in interim charge of the first team, so has tested positive. But I think the real backbreaker was that the club have closed their first team training facility, which really, you know, we don't know how the footballing authorities decide which teams should play and shouldn't, but I do think that's kind of the backbreaker.
I think rock, paper, scissors seems to be the way that they do it. I don't know what the method is, but maybe closing your facility would be right up
there.
We
wish everyone up there in the northwest of England that we know is being hit hard, especially my beautiful mum and dad, Val and Ivor. We wish them all, everyone, Liverpool Football Club, everyone at Liverpool, just in the city of Liverpool, just Godspeed.
Absolutely, Rog. In other news, do you hear the people singing the songs of Ragnick's men? The scent of revolution reportedly wafting through Man United due to their new manager's training regime and tactics.
Where there's smoke, there's fire, Davo, or fired managers, really. That seems to be the direction we are heading. There's so much bloody rumour, so many journalists being briefed by agents, players, inside sources. Essentially, there's a headline, Manchester United's coach killers are at it again. Headline, all caps. It's said to be splits in the Old Trafford dressing room. Ralph Rangnick has already been seen to be subpar. Morale, quote, the lowest it's ever been, which I find in a club that have been coached by Mourinho. Incredibly hard to believe, but I did enjoy one tabloid report that the players are, quote, not impressed with Ralph nor of his choice of assistant coaches. And I just want to say I will not stand idly by while Chris Armas is attacked like that, David.
Oh, it's amazing. I feel bad for Rangnick. He's only just arrived and dealing with all of this nonsense. I really feel that what he should do is line up the team, forget about his 4-2-2-2. He really should line up the team 2-2, 2-2-2, or even 1-1-1-1-1, 1-1-1-1-1. He should just, like, F with everybody.
You know, I'm open to all ideas in the inbox. If there's United fans in the chat, just tell us how you're feeling. Let's frame this. I do. The one thing I do find hilarious about the Rangnick assistant coaches is, God, what you've just said reminds me of Will Ferrell, who is on the Men in Blazers show this week. It's quite amazing, into quite an amazing interview, in which he suddenly, in the middle of the interview, ripped off his clothing and had a Men in Blazers football jersey on underneath, which was completely, I mean, it was just quite magnificent. But he talked in great depth about why he believes teams should play a 2-9 formation. And he says he's tried to get LAFC to play it for years, which is possibly how Steve Cherundolo got the job. Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern time on Peacock. But you know, the one thing that's funny to me about Manchester United is that we in America, we take great pride. You know, James Sands today moved to Rangers, 21-year-old from Rye, New York. I can't think of a place which is more adverse to Rye, New York than Glasgow. But God love him. He's going to learn so bloody much and just thrive, I hope, and really, really develop. You know, we revel in every... We've talked a lot about Pepe. We've talked a lot about our mate DK. We revel in every step everyone's taking. But even American soccer Twitter, even the American soccer bubble, is like, Chris Armas, Manchester United coach. No one's taking pride in it. No one's, everyone, even we are just like, what? WTF, Chris Armas. And that's kind of where United are. Let's touch quickly upon the transfers. Then we're going to dive into your Q&A. Bang your questions. Dear GFOPs, you know the drill. You know to dive, just gem us in the face. Ask your Q&A. We're going to dive on in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Rog, it is time to get to the Q&A portion. We're going to call you up onto the stage, invite you to speak. When you move to the stage, please just remember to stay muted until we call on you, and then we'll hopefully get a few W's through the whole thing. We like doubles. And a reminder to everyone listening, the only way you can ask a question is to actually join us here on the Green Room app. Rog, who is up first?
Oh, welcome, Fez. Great to crack 2022 in this Green Room. Oh, with the bud, the Jägermeister, the unknown sipping rum, Davo, Rog, J-Dubs, and all of you. Let us dive in. First cue of 2022. Tell us where you're from and what's your question. The great Nicholas Gomez. Nicholas is doing a Davo approach to Green Rooms. He's faking us out, mate.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
He's We can hear you.
Oh, you gorgeous Nicholas. Human being. Gomi. Love it.
Gomi! It's the Gomi.
Hey, everyone. Calling in from Long Beach, California.
Hey!
The LBC.
LBC, yeah, you know.
You're very faint, Nicholas, so speak in your outdoor voice.
Right. I better? Here we go.
Hey, oh, Nicholas! Oh, now we're... Oh, potty, Nicholas Gomez. What's your question?
Yeah, my question is, prior to maybe 4 days ago, there was so much conversation around Pulisic not being a good fit at Chelsea, articles saying he should leave, especially in the men's national team world. But those have kind of gone silent since he scored against Liverpool. I guess that's what will happen. What are your thoughts? Your thoughts on that? Do you think he's still a good fit at Chelsea? I'm a Chelsea fan, so I say yes. I love seeing him there. And a follow up question. I've seen links from to Dest to Chelsea because we desperately need wingbacks. Do you think Dest whatever comes to Chelsea, and do you think he'd be a good fit as well?
Oh, I think you've got Digne incoming is probably more likely in that realm. But really, are you asking what we think of Pulisic? Are you asking why are we all so knee-jerk in football that we're just completely like, he's washed up and it's a disaster?
Or recency bias.
He's the king of Chelsea. Is that, I mean, you can answer the question in several different ways, David, but what's your take? For me, through the Chelsea lens.
Look, I think Christian has to be playing at a big club. I don't think it makes sense for him to go and play at a lesser club in the Premier League or a much smaller club. So he's got his choice really of playing at the big six. I think it'd be tough to watch Christian play not in one of the big six teams in the Premier League. Of course, he could go back to Germany. Of course, he could play in Spain. Of course, he could play, you know, for one team in France. But I think in terms of preparation for what most US fans want is him playing for the US men's national team and being brilliant, I think Chelsea's a very good place for him. I think he's playing under an elite coach. I think he plays with a team and a squad of players who are some of the best in the world. And actually, I think that what Tuchel seems to be expecting of him, which is, tactical flexibility, which I know is very controversial for American fans who think he's playing too often out of his best position. But he's been asked to play a lot of positions for the US men's national team as well, and looking for a little bit more of a defensive aspect of his game, which, though not as important in the international game, because in the international game, which is, of Roger and I have spoken about a lot, is of lower standard than the Premier League and the Champions League. I think it's going to be good for him as a player. And I think when he overcomes, when he was the, goat of fanless soccer post-lockdown, when he looks good, those moments, the composure and just technical brilliance and the audacity of the goal that he took at the weekend, I think he looks very good and I think he fits. And I hope he muscles through and sticks it out and succeeds and goes even further.
God, it's such a complicated question. It really is. Number one, we look at Christian through a different end of a telescope than how Premier League football fans think of Christian. Whenever there's the Premier League is being marketed, if you're going to market it with four players right now in the North America, Canada now have their own quite brilliant footballers. So let me say, in the United States, you would market the Premier League, Ronaldo definitely, because he transcends football, probably Harry Kane. And then you're like, Christian Pulisic is in there. He's in there. In the same way, obviously, I was just speaking to someone who's marketed Spurs in South Korea, and they're talking about how they made Spurs the number one team in South Korea. When Sonny is on the field for Tottenham, Sonny's face is above the score box constantly, so that people in bars and cafes know Sonny is on the field on that game. We all look at the lens from our own particular reality. In England, Christian Pulisic, if you were going to name the top 100 footballers in the Premier League, would Christian be in there? Is a question that you could debate. And ultimately, we're trying to work out, is Christian the Christian of Pawn Shop, where he's like the LeBron James of soccer or something? He's like Messi, Ronaldo, Pulisic. Or is he just bloody good for CONCACAF, the leader of the US team? One of the top, arguably, Americans would say the best player in CONCACAF. I think Canadians have many arguments there, and Mexico always would have their argument. And Jamaica now, funnily enough, would come in with a shout with Mikel Antonio. But is he one of the, he's a great American. We want him to be a great Premier League player. And his battle now is he's a good Premier League player. And a good Premier League player will play many positions. We're outraged when he's not playing his position. But that's our American lens. From an English perspective, he's lucky to get a start. He plays where he should in that team because he's not the top tier in that Chelsea hierarchy. And that's the battle he's really having to define himself. Should he be? He was Project Restart. He was, for a very brief spell, the first name on that. Or the second name on that Chelsea team list. That's all, yeah. The injuries have done that in David. So those are like the moving lenses, is how we see him, how he's seen in England, what he did during Restart, which we see as the high bar. But, in fan football, he's not performed in that way. And he's really defining himself between being a good player in the Premier League, but not like an elite, top 50 player. To be the player that we want and dream him to be, where he really is in that top 20. I think it's great if he is in that top 100. But by the way, him being just a good Premier League player, that's progress for us. We had Clint; he made Spurs very briefly. We've never had an elite Premier League player stick at a elite club for a long time, and that to me, baby steps. It's really about our patience. Ultimately, your question: we need to be patient. He's a bloody good footballer. He will have bloody good moments. And honestly, the other question is English people laughing when we all go crazy when he scores great goals. Just savor every single one of them. Just enjoy him. Enjoy him when he does something great. Savor it, and Godspeed. May there be many, many more. Great comment in the chat. from the wonderful Madeline Hughes. Rangnick and Benitez manager swap, who would say no? Oh, probably a lot of Manchester United fans is the answer to that question. But I'd bite your arm.
And by the way, a lot of Everton fans would say no too.
Madeline Hughes, do we get Chris Armas or do we not get Chris Armas? My answer would depend on that. Next one up on the stage. Oh, come on up. Adam Gardner, where are you from and what's your question?
Hey, Raj. Hey, Devo. Calling from Arlington, Virginia.
Beautiful.
Love it.
Spurs fan. You got me, Devo, today. It's a tough one.
It's only the Carabao Cup, honestly. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, my favorite cup.
How's the snow, Adam?
Not great coming from someone who doesn't like the cold, but it's nice to be feeling in the spirit of winter, I guess you could say.
Snoods on, short sleeve shirts and gloves. Just go the Premier League way, you'll be fine, Adam Gardner. What is your question, you beautiful human being?
So my question is about my captain, Harry Kane, or I guess maybe it might be Hugo, but Harry Kane, and I'm wondering if his transfer value is going the same way of his hairline right now, which is receding.
Oof. It's so funny because the instant that you mentioned Harry Kane, all I thought about was sectors, which I was looking at on the broadcast today. Seemed to be a little bit of moisture in the air in London, and he had some problems in multiple sectors going on. This is affecting his transfer value.
Well, the hairline or the lack of goals?
The hairline, number one, Rog. His form has nothing, nowhere near as important as his hairline and problems in multiple sectors.
I mean, we've talked about how his hairline and an awareness of his hairline. It's like the Shamak story. He was prolific when he was haired. And then as soon as he started to spend more time just gelling over the Gentosin treatment, gelling over the bald patches, just you can't think of being a clinical goal scorer when your hair is just, I mean, God. The reality is Harry has become a depreciating asset. He was a house, something you invest in. He's now more like a couch or a car that just depreciates the moment you purchase it. The question is, I mean, it's fascinating. Romelu Lukaku and just his one-away narrative and has kind of overshadowed the fact that Harry Kane was desperate to bloody leave at the start of this season and is at Spurs still under protest. We have forgotten about that, Davey. How do you understand it? And by the way, bizarre fan fiction, Romelu Lukaku loves Antonio Conte in the face. A Harry Kane for Rom Lukaku straight-up swap. Do you bite my arm off?
Probably not. Probably not. I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, I still think that Harry Kane's going to turn it around. You're asking for a status report, really, on your skipper, on your hero, Harry Kane. And I still think he's going to be fine. I still think he's going to, you know, knock in 15 plus Premier League goals this season. I still think he's the best hope they've got of, you know, winning some silverware. And I also think that 2-0 in the first leg, you know, the game's still on. You know, they're still going to go back to, you know, Spurs Stadium. Still going to, you know, going to be a very, you know, tough game. And I think that the Spurs home crowd are going to try and, you know, put some real energy into that midfield, which they need to. But yeah, it's tough to see. You know, I think the next month, Rog, for Harry Kane is going to be absolutely key. And I think it's going to be really interesting to observe to see if he's finally over the sort of the hangover of what happened at the beginning of the season.
God, I'm quite fascinated. You know, the Daly family in Chicago that wants almost tyrannical mayoral dictatorship. Richard M. Daly became mayor. They always said the clever one was Billy Daly. But that he could never become mayor of Chicago because he was bald, and he can't be a successful politician if you are bald. And Adam Garner's really making me wonder whether that's actually true about, you know, elite footballers. Like the balding thing, does it take value off the property, Dave? It's, all I can say is Harry Kane clearly couldn't become mayor of Chicago. That's about as far as I'm going to stick my neck out. I think Harry Kane still wants away. That storyline has not gone away. I think he's still in pain. psychological pain. It's very hard to say I want to leave my childhood bedroom, mum and dad, you don't understand me, to try and march out down the drive and then find yourself back for an entire Premier League season in your childhood bedroom. Yeah, so Harry Kane, not Chicago's mayor, could be probably a better quarterback, more reliable quarterback than we've had this season than anyone on the roster. I wish Justin Fields was learning under the tutelage of Harry Kane. But I think the transfer value is still deeply sizable. He's an incredible goal scorer. He's also the England captain, which brings so many marketing dollars in every regard. And I think if you're a Tottenham fan, I wouldn't worry. You will still get, I think he still wants to leave. You'll still get real coin when he does do. Quick shout out to the chat, which has essentially just become a Sipping Rum Reddit. God, I love that. That's the name of my new band, Sipping Rum Reddit. Next one up, come on up, Jen Sykes, come be with us, old friend, to remind us where you're from and what's your question.
Hi, Raj and Devo. I'm Jen Sykes from Hillsborough, North Carolina, a Chelsea fan.
Hey. Yes.
And my question is about, with the transfer window, what's a better strategy for the big clubs with everybody seeming to go down with COVID pretty regularly at this point, and it, who knows what's going to happen with this variant or any future ones? Is the better strategy to buy a bunch of players to build up the bench and have backups ready, or to invest in the youth programs and call up more and more of the youth players, as Chelsea has been doing? And I'm a Chelsea fan because of John Terry, so I definitely have my preference on this question.
Yeah, look, and I think, you know, the problem, Chelsea have been a little caught, right? Because they've loaned out so many of their youth players and didn't have pathways, had so much talent, you know, Tammy and, you know, Conor Gallagher, that they had to, you know, Conor got loaned, Tammy got sold with a buyback clause, had to sell Tarek Lamptey. They had, like, too much talent coming through. I think for transfer window, I don't think it's going to affect a team like Chelsea. You know, I think they probably would have looked to do something in the transfer window anyway. I think they'll do a little bit more. They have another situation, obviously, Jen, as you're aware, that they have, you know, not many contracts with centre-backs. I think they did the Thiago Silva extension, but I think they probably need to sort of handle their back three or their back six, the six players they have in contention for those three places. They desperately need wing-backs with the injuries to Reece and Ben. I think they'll go in for a wing-back. I don't think we've got a lot of wing-backs coming through anymore. There's that player, is it? I don't know what his first name is, Hall, who people think is quite a good player. He was on the bench tonight. I've heard very good things about him. But we need to go into the market. I think it's more fascinating for the smaller clubs. I think the really fascinating things in this transfer window are watching what Newcastle are going to do and watching what some of the smaller clubs who are more affected by COVID because they have smaller squads.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating listening to Klopp, listening to Steven Gerrard talk about how they will not sign an unvaccinated player in this day and age, and you know, how that's going to play into value and perceived value and the opportunity to sign, actually sign someone for undervalue. You know, please God, this COVID wave is going to be more fleeting than the ones that have psychologically scarred us from the past. You know, the big story really in terms of influx of cash, because, you know, football is really a trickle down economy, is what is Piffcastle going to be doing in this transfer window?
Totally.
And who are they going to be bringing? It's fascinating watching Trippier roll up there today to become the first player to announce that it's always been his childhood dream to play up there in Newcastle and, you know, in between games, just sit on piles of cash and count them. But yeah, I remember, and I've told this story on the pod, I think, going up to see Rafa Benitez when he was at Newcastle and still a good manager. And you know, he told me in his manager's office, he had a map of England. He said the biggest problem in Newcastle is that, you know, when you're signing a player, every European player wants to go to London. They all want to go to London. The quality of life, you know, their families are happy, their partners are happy. London is just, you know, everybody's dream. He said, you know, you go to Manchester and yes, the player will come to Manchester because he wants to play for United or City. But he's like, you've got a player that's got to settle into Manchester. You know, Ferran Torres has just gone back to Spain because he missed Spain. A lot of the players, you know, Manchester's a hard place. It's a wonderful city, but for a European, it's cold and it's bloody wet, like you cannot believe. Liverpool, very much the same. And Rafa said, and Newcastle then, you know, to play for Everton, he said at the time, to pay players to play for them, they have to pay a premium to have the players stay in the northwest of England because nobody wants to be there. They all want to be in London. He said, I think what we have to pay in Newcastle, we have to pay like, you know, X2, X3 salary wise to incentivize them. That has not gone away. Yes, Newcastle, for perception anyway, now have the money to pay that. But that's essentially when you think about who's going to rock up at Piff Castle, particularly at Piff Castle that are, you know, looking and bar a great miracle escape, which will be financially steroided, they're going to get relegated. They are a very tough sell. I mean, the Aubameyang thing is really, I mean, Aubameyang, Arsenal are desperate to ditch him. He's on a huge salary. Who can afford him? That Aubameyang is going to be a real symbol of what and how and the intent of and the muscle of and the appetite of Newcastle going forward, which will be the story of this transfer window. Alan B, come be with us. You've got a question about this transfer window that takes us to a very different time, a very different place, and something that I am honestly still processing. Come be with us. Tell us where you're from and what's your question.
Yes. Yes. Hi, Raj and David. I'm Alan. I'm actually here with my brother, Christopher. We're from Orange County. I'm a United fan and he's an Arsenal fan.
God bless both of you. We love brothers. You're like the American I use.
Appreciate it. Not quite, but... So basically, our question is basically about the Insigne transfer, which I don't believe is confirmed, but all but. Lorenzo Insigne moving to Toronto FC for an undisclosed fee. I was wondering just specifically about this transfer and whether you think that this is really a good move for the MLS and like U.S. soccer in general. We know Ricardo Pepi also moved out this transfer window, an American talent moving to Rangers as well. And just, you know, the state of a player like Insigne moving to the MLS. The MLS is still kind of a tough sell, I feel like, and just how you feel that's going to work out when it kind of is set in stone.
I think you're asking, was it a good move for Insigne? I mean, it depends. I think if he's someone that really likes money and guaranteed long-term money deep into his 30s, it's a bloody great move for Insigne, who is not only making his childhood dream of being coached by Bob Bradley come totally true, but like the money that they are paying him, you know, post-tax is utterly, utterly, utterly startling in every way. And that's what makes this such a remarkable, I mean, I hope not a fleeting moment for MLS, but a remarkable moment. Dave, I don't know if you've got...
Yeah, no, I followed it. I saw the story. And actually, it's so funny you just said the thing deep into his 30s because I immediately thought, oh, yeah, this is another old washed-up player. He's only 30 years old.
Yeah.
You know, it's a... He's, you know... So he's still got a few years...
It's like a six-year deal. He's like... This
yeah,
is money
still got a few years left in him. And I think he'll be pretty good. But obviously, you mentioned the Pepi thing. I think it is way more significant for MLS... This week, the Daryl DK and the Pepi transfers, you know, notwithstanding that I think to some, you know, US men's national team and MLS fan observers, the fact that they ended up at West Bromwich Albion and Augsburg was a little bit disappointing. They hoped they were going to go to bigger clubs, but I think they've actually both ended up at the perfect clubs for them. I think those are more significant. And I think where MLS becomes this, you know, league for, you know, the next step for MLS is to become a league that is developing great talent, not to do what American soccer leagues have done, you know, since the 1970s and been a place where older European-based players come to sort of play out their career. I think it's much more significant that we're starting to sell players overseas.
No, I think it's genuinely fascinating. I can't quite get a bead on it. To be candid, it's remarkable. He's a very, 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 very good footballer. This is a footballer who you know, last summer, let's not forget, we're scoring wonder goals on a team that ended up winning the Euros. And undoubtedly, he told his agent, I don't care about the reported 30 million I'm going to get for the next 5.5 seasons deep into my 30s. All I care about is that I get good pasta fazool in Toronto. That's what I want, and that's what he gets. But you know, the MLS strategy, I'm fascinated how they kind of fill in the gaps, because if we go back to 2000, obviously originally they were buying, it was Dinosaurs Graveyard time, and Davo and I have both seen, by the way, the Premier League was a backwater when it was founded. As Jürgen Klinsmann always used to tell me, the music was played in Italy. That's where the big music was played. And Italy, when Ravinelli signed for Middlesbrough in England, I remember reading the newspaper headlines like, oh, it's sad that this once great player now has to go and play in England. I'm sad for him. What shame. You know, we were so far down the pecking order. Saying that because the tectonic plates beneath leagues and the balance of power can change. Dave and I have lived it. We've seen it. We've witnessed it. And I'm always looking for that sign from MLS that they are going to build a strategy that will lead to those tectonic plates shifting in America's favor, because everything suggests that can occur. But you look at originally Dinosaurs Graveyard, the Beckham era, and then it moved fleetingly. 2014, around the World Cup, there was that crazy strategy where they decided, funny enough, when Klinsmann was begging every player to leave MLS, move to Europe, test yourself at the highest level. Clint Dempsey, you just play for Tottenham. That is crap. There's always another level. When he was doing that, and quietly behind his back, MLS brought the best players on that team. Josie, Bradley, they even brought Clint Dempsey back, paid them way over what they were valued in Europe. So they all did come back. And try to woo us by making it the league where the best American players played football. And added to that, you know, that didn't work, because ultimately the best young players realized they needed to move to Europe. They realized retrospectively the words of Klinsmann, not because he said them, but because they were truths, were true. And every young player now wants to move to Europe. So you know, the MLS has been gutted. Of America, good young American talent is briefing their agents who move them, you know, to Germany, to Belgium, to France, to England, to the Championship, to Scotland, wherever they can go, to Italy. They want to go, and they want to go as early as possible. They want to be a normal football nation. And briefly, sorry to give such a long treatise,
but no,
I don't know the answer to. Briefly, MLS did two things, both of which, to be candid, I thought were smart. They started to buy briefly Europa League quality players. Giovinco at Toronto,
yeah.
A player who was not washed up, a player who could still score goals. They brought him over. And then they did the second thing, which is to try and identify young South American talent, as Davo said, that they could sell on to the Premier League. For the first time, MLS realized it had a place on the food chain of football teams, and it had to recognize they couldn't hold on to their best. I remember Don Garber saying ahead of the last World Cup that we didn't qualify, he was asked what player would he have come and play in MLS if he could have anyone, and he said Christian Pulisic. I was like, no, you can't subvert the food chain. You can't buy a player back and have him play in our league when he's, you know, he has to play in the best leagues possible. And I don't know why Giovinco was the only Europa League quality player that came out. I don't know. I also don't know why we're not buying more. You know, the LAFC had a couple of good ones. Red Bulls, a new NYCFC, brought a couple of good young 19, 20, 21, 22 South Americans. That policy is what I would follow, plus the Europa League policy. And I hope ultimately Insigne is not the only one who's coming, because to me, it's baby steps for the growth of MLS. And those are the baby steps, I pray. LAFC, Ferrell's 2-9 formation may be a tough sell, but having Europa League quality football players plus great young South Americans we can sell on, like Miguel Almirón to Newcastle, that to me is the next step.
Rog, a couple of quick points. One, there is great Italian food in Toronto, huge Italian community.
Incredible.
Great Italian food. And secondly, I do think that there is a benefit with a player like Insigne coming on, who is such a clinical finisher, such a creative forward player, such a hard-working, experienced pro. For some of those young Toronto FC players, you know, like an Akinola, like a, you know, a guy who's showing promise at a young age, who actually I enjoy watching before his, you know, before his season ended. I think these are players that could really benefit from watching. This is a sort of you know, sometimes unspoken about benefit of these older, more seasoned Euro players coming in, is that you can really learn a lot from them.
I'll say also, we should not be afraid that the great young American players are all fleeing the league. That is us becoming a normal footballing nation. Just like Belgium is not having an identity crisis that its best young players are playing abroad. This is how football works. This is great.
They must stay and play for Genk.
I think
Antwerp. They must stay and play in Antwerp. Belgian Ron Garber. We need some at Genk.
I hear the last thing I'll say on this, and let's chat more always. We love these questions. We are quite bullish on MLS's growth. There's many things MLS can do to really develop. There really, really are. And all I can say is I marvel, short answer, Alan B, at Insigne coming to Toronto, and I cannot wait to see him. Nicolas Gomez says in the chat, if Fabrizio Romano mentions MLS in a tweet, then that's when you know it's a good week. We will take that. Oh, my God, I'd bite your arm if Fabrizio Ravanelli would mention MLS in a tweet. Couple of quick ones in a quick fire round to pull this together, because you have been a gorgeous, just a beautiful first of 2022 audience. I want to shout out Don Steele, great GFOP, joy, health to your family in this year ahead. Jeff Moore, come be with us. Tell us where you are. What's your question?
Hey, Rog and Devo, Jeff from Denver, Colorado. With the African Cup of Nations kicking off this weekend, yes. Do you see as favorites, and do you see any surprises?
It's on BeIN Sports. Is Ray Hudson commentating on the African Cup of Nations? That would be quite amazing if that is the occurrence. So Ray Hudson is my favourite. Davo, we love African Cup of Nations in every regard. It is the great one. 2021 African Cup of Nations starting this Sunday. Postponed twice. Last year, I think it was first due to inclement weather, and then the pandemic. Cameroon hosting for the first time since 1972. Slightly controversial choice, given the fact there's an ongoing civil war in the Anglophone region of the country. But that's never stopped football. Well, that's probably why they put it there, knowing how footballing authorities actually work. Huge, huge. Looking from a Premier League lens, we talked earlier, we look at football through an American lens. The Premier League lens, like, how can they take Mo Salah and Sadio Mane? How is that going to affect the Premier League table? You know, Mendy, how are we going to play without him in goal? To me, it's who cares? Let's revel in the moment. 24 incredible teams competing. Frankly, so many of the players you wish the Premier League wishes had stayed there, just actually taking the field joyously to play in just a remarkable tournament. David, what are you looking forward to?
I mean, look, it's going to be on, you know, BeIN Sports, which I know is not everybody can get. It's on our friends at Fubo TV. It's going to be on Fubo, so that's where I'll be watching it, because I still have a subscription over there. As to the favorites,
how many subscriptions do you have?
Oh my God, I have a ridiculous number of subscriptions. I have
everything. Are you single-handedly keeping the streaming business alive?
Pretty much.
Do you subscribe to BritBox?
I do not subscribe. I've thought about subscribing to BritBox, but I don't.
I'm on my fifth in and out free monthly trial. Keep going. Back to the AFCON.
Yeah. So one thing that I love about AFCON is that it is highly unpredictable. You know, it's very tough to figure out. I think there have been sort of shock results, you know, time after time after time. So I'm not entirely sure who's going to be the favorite. I've actually gone onto my DraftKings app right now to see if I can look at the odds. And Rog, maybe while you answer, I'll survey the odds.
I mean, I'm looking forward. I think there's six different winners, as you say, David. You can never really tell in the previous six tournaments. That's what makes this such a joy. I think Algeria are the favourites. Riyad Mahrez is Algeria, coming straight off the Arab Cup title win in December. Senegal with Mane up front and Mendy in goal. Are many people's choice, Mo Salah in Egypt. Tough first game for them against Nigeria, aka the team. It will be built. We're saying it's on the 11th, and I cannot wait to see that Merseyside derby play through within AFCON. But, you know, I adore it. It's just a passionate, joyous. It's everything that's great about football. Football mad countries, you know, the Lions of Teranga, Senegal, the Desert Warriors, Algeria, the Pharaohs, Egypt. By the way, I just watched World War II in colour with my son.
Oh, I love watching
the war in Africa, which my grandfather fought in and never spoke about. Watching that was deeply, deeply beautiful. Come on, Egypt, the Pharaohs, Bob Bradley. Oh, coach in AFCON. What else do you need to know, Davo?
But we're going to put money. Monty. Senegal, I think, are the favourites on DraftKings, by the way.
I put money on them. The Lions of Teranga. The question is, who would Monty put his money on, Davo?
Very sandy tanks.
Very sandy tanks. Two quickies before we go, because you've been so patient and joyous in every single wonderful way. Connor Foley. I think we have a question about his namesake. Come on up, Connor. Tell us where you are and what's your question.
Hey, guys. I'm in Philadelphia.
The best cheesesteak, Connor?
I think it's Del Sandro's up on Ridge Ave.
Controversial.
Very controversial.
We've been there. J-Dubs and I have been to Del Sandro's. We enjoy it greatly. But I'm going to give a shout out to Jim's.
That's absolutely fair. But, like, my question, yeah, it's about Conor Gallagher, Crystal Palace. And I'm just curious if there's any chance he doesn't go back to Chelsea, even this window or maybe next summer. It feels like he's a really talented young guy on an up-and-coming team, and I feel like the Premier League could use more of that parity throughout, like, the mid-table.
Davo, is there a world, is there a simulation in which Crystal Palace are able to keep Conor Gallagher?
Look, I may or may not have spoken to my mate Steve Parrish about this over the holiday break. But and watch I can't Bob. Reveal those conversations.
Watch
but, Bob. But the going, what I would say that is fair to say, like going back, is that, you know, Crystal Palace and Chelsea, and particularly Steve and Marina Granovskaya, have a very good relationship. It's why there's a lot of transacted business between the two clubs.
Business.
Think about it, Rog. Like, what kind of a player is Conor Gallagher within the Chelsea lineup? He's very much a Mason Mount kind of a player. Maybe a little bit more offensive, a little less of a presser, a little bit more of a, you know, Greels Jr. in some way, in terms of the way he keeps possession and dances around the edge of the box. But I wonder, what will Tuchel make of Conor Gallagher? You know, so maybe they leave him to develop for another year or two and see where they want to go.
I think I'll see a very, very good wing back in Conor Gallagher.
We had Ziyech. Ziyech was playing a wing back tonight. I think one of the questions in the chat is Davo's going to be playing a wing back for Chelsea. Believe me, they called about George because they need another left footer to play behind Marcus Alonso. He's not a wing back.
Conor Gallagher, you and Pulisic will be centre backs in this next game. That's going to be the future.
I've spoken to my friend Ralph Ragnick. We're going to play 2-2-2-2-2.
I mean, I think it's very, very fascinating. God bless Pulisic slipping in to play wing back once again when Dave went off injured. Harvey Vale. Even Harvey Vale. I think they're just trying to torture Pulisic, a bit like Reek in Game of Thrones. Even Harvey Vale is more important to me than you. God, that's a horrible thought in every single regard. I would love to think that Conor Gallagher can stay at Crystal Palace, but football is not romantic. And the question for Conor Gallagher that a lot of people are asking, he dominates for Crystal Palace with his energy, his effervescence, his willingness to destroy teams like Everton, who are tactically incompetent, and let him break the lines. And people who watch him week in, week out, which I'll admit I do not, you know, they say there's an errant player, there's a rough diamond, there's an unfinished product there on Crystal Palace. You don't see that. You don't care about that. You love the energy. You love the drive. You love the battery that never wears down. But at a team where mistakes are more unforgivable, he would not shine in that same way. So I'm sure, like, there's American soccer Twitter, there's Conor Gallagher soccer Twitter, and they see the world purely through Conor Gallagher. And the question is, where is he? What kind of, is he a top, you know, top 30 Premier League player? Or is he just a great top 200 player in the Premier League? And I cannot wait to look and find out in every regard. Batting cleanup on this first green room of 2022. Double S, Stephen Sobel. Remind us where you're from and what's your question.
Hey, I'm calling in from the crap part of the financial district.
Which street? Where are you, Stephen? Whereabouts?
I am just by Fulton Center.
Okay, very nice. You've got fish John market. Street. You've got very good subway connections.
That's true. That's the biggest perk.
How's the mood there, Stephen Sobel, at the moment?
You know, I don't think we've seen the sun down here in about 3 weeks, and I don't know if that's related to Omicron or not, but
yeah, it's also the height of the buildings around you.
You're like American Middlesbrough. What is your question, you beautiful? Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Connecticut.
Oh, that's probably one of my top 50 states. What is your question?
Glad we could crack it. And Everton's one of my top 20 favorite Premier League teams.
Well, and look, Rogie's got them in the Premier League.
Bite your arm off for Premier League status, double S. I love you. If I was with you, I'd hug you right now. What's your question?
But you kind of covered my question I was going for, so I'll give you a couple quick Everton ones. So first one, how do you feel about Damari Gray, the rumor that came out yesterday that he's very close to playing for Jamaica? And then the second one is, at this point, would you rather have Michael Keane at center back or octogenarian Michael Caine?
Oh, my God. Our producer at NBC was once Michael Caine. And I thought that's who you were talking about when you said octogenarian. I'd prefer either of them, to be candid. Big shout out to former NBC producer Michael Caine. We'll bite your arm off to have him at centre back. Michael Caine, bite your arm off to have him at centre back. Harry Caine, we play him at centre back. But I mean, the CONCACAF thing, we've covered a bunch, and Davo's most effervescent about this. Davo wants the best players who are eligible for CONCACAF to play in CONCACAF, right? You see that as the growth, the glory.
And particularly for Jamaica, which is a country that, you know, we're all romantic about. And we'd love to see Jamaica put a fantastic, you know, team together. I think it would be great for the whole region. It would be great for football to watch them play. I'm sure you don't really want to lose Damari Gray to CONCACAF qualifiers, those very long plane trips, those hostile environments in Honduras and Costa Rica. And Panama, Rog, but I think it would be great. I'd love to see him go there.
By the way, I totally agree with you. I think the better CONCACAF becomes, the faster CONCACAF becomes actually good. The closer CONCACAF becomes to actual football, the better off the United States will be. So this is self-interest speaking. I love the Jamaican team. I wish the Jamaican team were better. The Jamaican team should be better. Speaking to people I know who are involved in the Jamaican footballing world, just the corruption of the federation just seems to destroy every ounce of the great potential that football team has and should have. I would love it in every regard. I love that Mikel Antonio, he could have just said sod off to the lack of professionalism, just the abhorrent corruption that is there. And by the way, everywhere in bloody CONCACAF, everywhere. You look at who's running again to be president of US soccer. So I'm not just pointing the finger. So much of CONCACAF lives below the radar, and we're all the worse off for that. But I think it's fantastic. I love the Jamaican national team. I wish they played football in Clark's Wallabies. That would make me incredibly happy from a cross-promotional perspective. But, you know, the bear, Seamus Toner in the chat says he's all for Gray joining them. Because the US has already played Jamaica twice. By the way, Damari Gray is a very rare Everton footballer. Talked about this before when Leon Osman used to be on the ball surging forward and the commentator says, Leon Osman picks it up. I'd always emotionally check out because I knew he'd either trip over it, fall over, or be knocked off the ball. when Demory Gray gets the football, I actually lean in. I'm genuinely one of the few Everton footballers I'm actually still very excited about. Fantastic player. Everton are utter crap. Michael Keane is a terrible, terrible, a cosmically terrible.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You lean in when Demory Gray gets the ball, and every attacker in the Premier League leans in when Michael Keane gets the ball.
but he's not a terrible centre back, Rog. He's elite level that has managed through. You know, he's made it to his national team. He's made it to the Premier League. He is elite, elite, elite. It's just the game is so hard for centre-backs, particularly in that position.
Yeah, the centre-backs, I mean, strength. He came through with great
speed.
There's something about us, though, David. We destroyed good players. He was a good player. You're right. He's a good player when he came to Everton, a very good player. We destroy good players. That's what I feel right now, David. That's where I am mentally. I do look at him play. He had the future ahead of him. Yeah. And then he came to us, and we... That's who we are, David. What we touch, we destroy. What we love, we turn into cinder. And it's quite a dark place to be candid. Those of you who are not Everton fans, it's a human
drama. So maybe you need a guy like Michael Keane to come in. Be hello, boys. You can be much better again. You can be a better football team. Yeri, come on. You line up there. Let's lose a little bit of the enthusiasm. Everything will be okay. Come on, Seamus. It's all right. You've got to run up, but then you've got to get back. You've got to cover. Jordan, you're a hell of a keeper. Every now and then, dive all the way across the goal and go and get the ball. I think Michael Keane would be brilliant for your boys.
I don't remember the scene of victory, but I'm loving it. I felt like I was living a victory sequel. And I'm not going to do Pelé's lines because they're quite awful and offensive, but you've made me. Together,
Rafa, I don't think you've got total control of this team. I just don't think you're really the man for the job.
Richarlison, you are completely heart-wrenchingly bonkers, and I fucking love it.
Yeah. I don't know what we should do. Maybe we should go and make a trade for Ralf Rangnick. I hear he's German, but he's one of the good ones. One of my favourite impressions, Michael Keane. It's not a great impression, but I enjoy doing it.
Mate, you enjoy it. Can I just tell you, I'd say it was a solid impression, but what sold it was the joy you were ever doing.
Oh, I love it.
How many impressions can I do in life, David?
Not a lot.
None.
You're not a mimic.
Not a single bloody one. I don't quite understand why linguists amongst you on this green room will know it. So when I hear you do one, but love it so much, I just get off on the joy you get from doing your Michael Keane impression. Can you do the rest of this green room as we shut it down now, Davo, in your Michael Keane accent?
Okay, Rog, that is it for this Spotify green room. A quick reminder, the Men in Blazers TV show returns Sunday, January 16th at 2:30 p.m. on Peacock, where all of our shows from this season live in perpetuity.
On
Peacock, where all of our shows from this season live in perpetuity. Rog, could we get one final toast to bring us home?
Mate, I am so ill. It's remarkable. I'm going to raise my Jägermeister, this shot of human emotion in a glass. Just the joy, the energy. I'm about to completely and utterly collapse in everywhere. You brought me such joy, Dave. J Dubs, you beautiful human being, for lasting through this. And most of all, GFOPs, who were given 10 minutes that probably will not make the podcast of just abject, woeful, utter. I mean, Norwich City of a green room up top. It was majestic. You stayed with us. Your questions are in this, let's be candid, quite crap week. A football narrative. You fluid us through this, Davo. Sorry, Michael Keane. Take us home, Daddy.
Vendepunkt.
What pick?
Was that ever boner?
Stacks.
Baldwin.
Wouldn't you say that was a question?
Baldwin.
Say that, Gloria.
Bolt's loose.
To Tweed.
Abrigado. Rock on, mate.
Kung Fu Fighting Michael Keane. Kung Fu Fighting America. Love you, Davo.
I love you, Roger Bennett.
Love you, Michael Keane. Love you, Daniel.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.